Today's sermon is called God with Us. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Our Lord God of our expectant Advent hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, these last few weeks, we've talked about how we define who we are, and we talked about our Advent journey. And we talked about how the world seems to be constantly in a state of disarray that we can hardly bear it at times. We talked about how we are on journeys within that change, both as individuals and people for the short years that we are here. And we traveled between both our Old Testament text, Isaiah, and our New Testament text, Matthew. One of the reasons we do that is so that we can hear those dual messages of both the me and the us. Typically, when we're looking at Old Testament texts, they're directed towards all of us, God's people as a people. There's directives and wisdom given for God's purposes, for sure, but it's up to the rulers to guide the people towards those purposes. Or else, if that doesn't happen, God's not happy. We know that. But the New Testament, however, has been interpreted by tradition by Christians to be more directed towards an individual faith. Now, it never expressly says that, but one of the things that by tradition differentiates Christianity and Judaism is this constant emphasis of Jesus and the individual faith, as opposed to the Old Testament God and the collective faith, the community of faith, the community of people. But Jesus, in the New Testament, still talks to us in terms of what we all should do. It's still directed at all of us. Even in the parables, those lessons are directed to us as a people of God. So we set these texts beside each other so that we can more easily see our Advent journey in these two terms, but also respect how people have traditionally heard those texts as an individual and as a group, as a people of faith. Okay? So in today's text, in Isaiah, if we read a few verses back to include both chapters 6 and 7, we see what's happening here. Our old friend Isaiah comes along and gives us a little lesson about ourselves. We like to think that we're good-hearted folks who are just a little misguided once in a blue moon, don't we? But Isaiah comes along and reminds us that we have this ego of ours which keeps us, not God, front and center in our lives. And only when we are satisfied in ourselves, says Isaiah, do we think about God, and that self is never completely satisfied. And until we come to understand ourselves in this way, like Isaiah did, we as a people are going to continue to act out for us, first and foremost, and leave the promises of God as things that attack our happiness rather than fulfill it. Because it's hard to break ego gratification. Ahaz has that problem here too. He wants what he wants, and then he asks God to bless his choices. And the Old Testament is full of these stories of how the kings and princes cannot do God's will, and the people pay the price every time. But then God says it won't always be that way. God says that God is not the God of threat, but the God of love. A God that so loves creation that God will come into the world and show us a sign of that love, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means right. It means what? It says so in the text. Remember what Emmanuel means? Look it up. Isaiah 7, chapter 10 to 16. When you read that, Emmanuel means God with us. God helps us understand that it is not a mighty king of force that will make the nations come together. World leaders of mighty nations can't get past their own framework of who's the best. So God comes. God comes in the forms of the ones who are without power, who speak in an entirely different way. No threats, no violence, but just love. To say that only when we speak, think, and act from a place of love can we come closer to fulfillment of the promises of God. The God of our egos wants to know why we should fall in line. After all, come on, I mean, really, what's going to happen to us if we don't do God's promises? That's the Old Testament game all over again, isn't it? Testing God to see if we can get away with what we want and then having God bless us. And only when we've stepped over the line way too far do we find out that God's pretty miffed. Jesus comes. God comes in the form of this little baby Jesus. The God of our existence comes as a small and helpless one and enters into a relationship with us as needing all the love we can give, all the protection we can give, all the knowledge and wisdom we can pass along to see that that love is returned. That's why Joseph stands up for Mary and her character rather than turns her away. It's why Mary sings her song to the dispossessed of the world to say that it is they who are first blessed. It's why the Magi from the East come to acknowledge God and warn the new parents to flee from political violence to follow from Herod's search for the baby Jesus. God comes teaching us what it means to have courage in the face of redefining ourselves in our uncertainty, fear, and not knowing how things will turn out. God asks us to live with confidence that all will be well, even if today, this very moment, things really aren't so great. If we live in trust, we can have the watchful quietness that Isaiah urged upon Ahaz. Be careful, be calm, be not afraid. Have we heard those words before? Sure we have, in our destination, our New Testament. The words of God with us, the words of Jesus. Our destination, therefore, is the New Jerusalem, the metaphor repeatedly invoked by both God's prophets in our hearts. And it's through living in the God of our existence that each of us and all of us are going to get there. I'll leave you with these final thoughts on this last Sunday of Advent. This is the Sunday of peace. And even as our egos strive for attention and recognition of human praise fulfilling our own dreams, our calling is a different one, isn't it? In looking back at our lives as places that have required new definition, dislocation, departure, and destination, I hope we see how we struggle so mightily to bend the world to our will, and how the Advent season calls us to places anew that have very little to do with fame, fortune, or power. Faithfulness, reverence, trust, hope, joy, peace, and most of all, love. Our God cannot be silenced, even in a world which asks us to stop attending churches and tries to fill the void in our lives with self-gratification rather than self-emptying. God is still speaking. In the small, still voice that we can hear, right now, if we have ears that attend, right here, right now, we're being guided. Most often by those who are overlooked right in our midst. Look around you. Who do you ignore the most? Because your ego says they're not worthy. Right here, right now, be guided by the least of these. The ones who have nothing to give but their presence and their being. What is our destination then? Who are the least of these in our lives? And if we see them anew, what would it mean for us right here, right now, this Christmas? And for that, thanks be to God. Amen.